Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Most Christians think their testimony is the story of their experience with Christ, but that's not the way the Bible uses the word. And it's important to understand what the Bible writers do mean by it, because according to Revelation 12:11, it's one of the ways we defeat Satan. The past several days, we've been taking a look at the Christmas story from the perspective of the heavenly realm, as described in Revelation 12. And we found that when Satan failed to kill Jesus after he's born, he turned his anger against us, the followers of Christ. And John teaches us how to fight back in Revelation 12, 10 and 11. It says this, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him.'" Now here's where he tells us how we overcome the devil. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." How do you strike a blow at Satan in your life through the word of your testimony? That's our topic today.
What's the second foundation for overcoming the devil in verse 11? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and then what else? The word of their testimony. Sometimes we use the word testimony to refer to your life story. That's not what the word testimony means. Your testimony is not your life story. Your testimony is Jesus' life story. And what your life and words say about Jesus, that's your testimony. It's like Jesus is on trial in a courtroom, in the courtroom of the world. He's on trial and you're a witness called to give testimony about the defendant, about Jesus. If someone asks you, "What's your testimony?" If somebody ever asks you, comes up, "Hey, what is your testimony?" You can say this. You could just say, "Here's my testimony. Jesus Christ, who is Almighty God, creator of the universe, who has existed forever, 2,000 years ago, took on human flesh and became a man. And he was born of a virgin, lived a perfect, sinless life, took upon himself all the guilt for all of our sins, voluntarily suffered the punishment for all of that on the cross, rose from the dead on the third day, just as he promised, ascended into heaven, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And now he's preached among the nations, believed upon by his people, and someday he will return and judge the living and the dead. He will destroy this world, create a new heavens and new earth, rule and reign over everything and everyone forever. That's my testimony. The purpose of my life is just to testify to that truth." We all have the same testimony. When verse 11 says they overcame the dragon by the word of their testimony, it means they testified about Jesus. Now, when I tell my story and you tell your story, are they going to be a little different? Sure. Maybe one of you heard that Jesus, all about Jesus, and believed at age 5, and somebody else at age 50. There's going to be some variations in our experiences of what Jesus did. But the testimony about what Jesus did and who he is the same. That's in the scriptures. This is our testimony right here. This is the testimony about Jesus. This is our testimony. The more we speak the truth of the scriptures and live according to that, the more we defeat the dragon of Christmas. If you want victory over Satan, share the gospel. Share the gospel. I heard a story, amazing story this week of a pastor who had a man in his church tell his story of how he became a Christian. He says, "Here, let me tell you a story. I was visiting Sydney, Australia. I'm walking down George Street, which is a main street in Sydney. And I'm walking down and this strange little white-haired man pops out of this doorway and says, 'Hey, are you saved? If you die tonight, do you know if you'd go to heaven?' And he hands me this tract, this gospel tract. I took it, thanked him, walked away. A couple weeks later, he said, I got to reading that thing, and the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin. And I got down, I gave my life to Christ." So this pastor's like, "Oh, that's a great story. That's really amazing." And so this same pastor, like 2 weeks later, ran into another man, an elder in a Baptist church, who told this almost identical story of how he became saved. He's in Sydney, Australia. He walks down George Street. This little old guy, white-haired guy, steps out, hands him a tract. Says the same thing, hands him a tract. Over the next 3 years, and I wish I had time to tell you all the stories, all 12 of these stories, because when you tell each story, it sounds like more than just saying the number 12. But 12 different times in 3 years, 12 different times, this pastor, he traveled all around the world. He ran into people in England, Australia, the Caribbean, Atlanta, Georgia, and Northeast India, who all told the same story about how they ended up somehow on George Street in Sydney, Australia, and this guy pops out and hands them his tract, and they got saved. And some were pastors, missionaries, an army chaplain, a former Hindu who became the leader of a huge missionary organization leading hundreds of thousands of people to Christ as a result of this little guy. So this pastor, the next time he's in Australia, he actually tracks this guy down. He asks around. He said, do you know this little guy who on George Street? Oh, yeah, his name is Mr. Genner, and they told him where he is. He was sold by this time because some of these stories go back 40 years. It's like 40 years ago this happened. So he finds Mr. Genner. And he sits down with him for some tea, and he tells him all these stories. And this frail elderly man just welled up with tears in his eyes, and he says, well, let me tell you my story. I was in the military. I was a horrible, wicked, vile reprobate, and somebody was kind to me and led me to Christ, and I was so grateful that I committed to share the gospel just in a simple way, just a few seconds, as the Lord gave me strength, with 10 people a day, as the Lord gave me strength, as much as I could do it. And I picked George Street because it's just so many people there. It's easy to do. And he said this, in 40 years, I never heard of one person coming to Christ through my efforts. He said, I just kept doing it because I committed to the Lord. One little man asking a simple question and giving a written presentation of the gospel each day to 10 people resulted in people all over the world, literally all over the world, coming to Christ. That's the power of the gospel. What if you made a commitment like that? Just maybe you're not in a position you do 10 a day like this guy, but maybe what if you took some of those trifold agape cards with the gospel presentation in the middle, or some of the Quest for Joy pamphlets in libraries? Just grab some, carry them around, and every time you eat out, give one to your server. Just say, hey, here's something for you to read when you're on a break. It's just a little summary of what the Bible says about how to really know God and how to have your sins forgiven. I'd like you to get a chance to read that. We defeat the devil by testifying about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the victory. So it's on the basis of his blood. It's on the basis of our testimony about his blood. And then the third thing. What's the third thing? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and then they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Probably the number one reason Christians don't share the gospel more is fear. We're just afraid we might get rejected. We're afraid someone's going to think we're weird. And in some cases, it may be an actual possibility of persecution. I mean, when you live according to Christ, when you live in a way that brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you live in a way that testifies to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to run into opposition. People aren't going to like it. There's some people who are going to hate you for what you're saying, and they're going to try to get you to stop obeying Jesus. Stop living that way. And when that happens, the question is going to be, how much do you love your life in this world? When it comes down to a choice between a comfortable life in this world or testifying to the Lord Jesus Christ, what's it going to be? How much do you love your life in this world? You will overcome the dragon and be victorious when you love the Lord Jesus Christ more than you love your life. Victory over Satan will come when you can say with David in Psalm 63:3, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. Everything in the Christian story, the Christmas story, is finished. It's all, the whole nativity, it's all buttoned up except for one loose end. There's still one piece of the Christmas story that could go one way or the other. It's not determined. The birth of the Messiah into this world, that's established. All of God's purposes in bringing his son into the world, those were accomplished when God raised Jesus from the dead and took him up into heaven. That's done. That's established. That's finished. The great dragon has been defeated. He's been thrown down. That's accomplished. But now that mad dragon of Christmas is coming after us. That's how Revelation 12 ends. And so the one open question of Christmas is, are you going to fall victim? He's coming after you. Are you going to fall victim, or are you going to defeat him by relying on the blood of the Lamb and by testifying to the truth about Jesus and by loving him more than you love your own life? Father, help us. That's not even possible for us unless you come and change us. Open our eyes to see that your love really is truly better than life itself. Let this not just be a commitment, Lord. Let it be a desire.
If you're like me, it's not easy for you to strike up a conversation with a stranger about the gospel. But it's really easy to just hand somebody a gospel tract, especially a server in a restaurant, like I mentioned. Why not order a stack of gospel tracts and give it a try? One I recommend is called Quest for Joy by John Piper. I found you can get a 25-pack online for under $2. There's a link in the show notes, or you can just search Quest for Joy, John Piper, in the search engine, and it'll come up. Who knows who might end up in heaven for eternity because you spent those $2.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.